Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Talk Live, 603-283-6160. You can call in and talk about anything you want, 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Kurt.
And you know, generally it's a bad idea to talk about what your real plans are during an apocalypse. Obviously, I'm not an idiot. I've seen how the last year has gone. And I've done more than just put aside some gold that most people won't actually want during a zombie apocalypse. Is such a thing were to happen?
I agree. And the fact that people know that I'm the guy, they've been watching me for 8 years now at my current residence, putting it all together. I know that there are crosshairs on me. And just, you know, this, like you said, it's not something that you want to signal if you actually expect to survive the onslaught, because there's a big chance that I get taken out in the first day. All this work, I get taken out in the first damn day. But
I'm not laughing because that's funny. I'm laughing because I appreciate irony.
And, well, I mean, but for all of you out there who think, and this is something that I even hear from my liberty-loving friends. It's like, I don't need a garden. I've got guns. Have you ever heard that?
I have. I think that's a messed up way of looking at things.
But
maybe their plan is to barter the guns for food.
Or bullets. No, I think
bullets would probably be a decent currency in a zombie apocalypse.
I think, very sadly, I think that when push comes to shove, they will themselves be using those guns to rob people.
To commit aggression.
To commit aggression. Which is sad because here they are living their lives, non-aggression principle.
And
if it hits the fan, they'll immediately devolve into animals.
I mean, that's how it is, though. That's how morality is. It's a luxury. People hate admitting that, but when the chips are down, you will steal a steak in order to avoid starving to death.
And it's my goal and my wish to prevent that dehumanization from ever happening, to be prepared for it so that it doesn't resort to a Twilight Zone episode where your neighbors are beating down your bomb shelter door. Your neighbors who you just had dinner with, your loving neighbors, who now they know they're going to die because they didn't build their own bomb shelter, and now they're beating your doors down. I don't want that to happen.
You want people to build their own bomb shelters.
Yeah, and I hope that in all of my years of building up garden infrastructure, I have impressed upon the idea enough of my neighbors that they start digging their own gardens. But you know what? I haven't seen the evidence, so... to all of the people out there who have guns, who think they're going to come, you just go on a robbing spree.
I truly hope that's not why the libertarians out there say, well, I have guns. Yeah. I suspect you're right, but I hope better than that.
I think that it might turn into that. But here is my response to them. I have guns too.
Sure.
And I also have chickens. And you know what chickens eat?
Anything?
Anything. Haven't you seen? And I don't have pigs, but that might be the next on my list, because you know what pigs eat?
Anything.
Anything. It's a good way to get rid of stuff that you don't want. All right. So
you said that you think the benefits of kale are overgrown.
Overblown.
Overblown is, yes.
All the foodies out there have praised it to be this like wonder superfood. And it might be. I don't grow it because it's a superfood. I grow it because it's very, very easy, and it produces a lot of food. Out of everything in my garden last year that survived our winter, like 4 months of snow on the ground, the kale is thriving from last year. Now, it's in its second year. It's a biennial, so it's going to start going to seed. But I was eating kale all last week from last year, this early in the season. So as far as durability, especially here in New England, I definitely recommend this very easy plant. Now,
is it like aloe vera in the sense that it's almost impossible to screw it up?
Aloe vera dies very easy. It's a very delicate plant.
What am I thinking of then?
Grass.
Now, I was under the impression that aloe vera was almost, like, impossible to screw up.
It's hard to underwater it because it's so tolerant. It's almost like a cactus. But no, it's a very delicate plant that grows very, very slowly, and it's just it bruises very well, very easy. I don't think you're thinking of aloe vera, but it's a good plant to have around, especially if you have burns and stuff.
Sure.
But
we're talking about foods that plants that people may want to eat in order to survive.
Correct. Aloe vera is not one of those, unless you start getting into like herbal medicines and whatnot. And if you're making your own soap or your own shampoo or something, I'm thinking aloe vera might be something that might be on your list. But in the South, you might not have such luck with something like kale because it's going to have the tendency to want to go to seed the first year if you have really, really hot summers. Here in New England, I grew very, very early in the spring. I was eating kale the entire season, and then it actually lasted our very cold winter. And it's growing right now.
I don't think our winter was that cold, was it?
Not this year, it wasn't.
The first winter I came up here, it was much snowier and much colder for substantial lengths of time.
Last season was very mild in comparison to all previous years, in my opinion. So that might have been it. But even if it didn't survive, it's such an easy plant to grow. This is something that you want to start early. It's a brassica. So start it indoors in pots so that you can take it out basically 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, here in Zone 5.
Okay, so it's too late.
No.
For people who are listening.
No, it's not too late. You can still start it now if you want. You're just going to get a late harvest, and you might not get as much as you could.
Okay.
All right.
So what's after kale?
Jerusalem artichoke, which isn't, by the way, related. Which isn't related to the artichoke at all. It's in fact related to sunflower. In fact, it looks kind of like a baby sunflower. I started these last year for the first time. I had never heard of them before.
I have never heard of it.
They're called either Jerusalem artichokes, sunchokes, or even the joke is fartchokes, because they might make some people a little gassy, but they store very well. I started these for the first time last season. I ended up buying some online for an absorbent amount, which I plan to do, by the way, myself. I'm going to start growing and start selling them online for $15 a pound plus shipping. I can easily do that. But anyways,
just don't tell Monsanto.
Their claim to fame is they look kind of like a water chestnut. I don't know if you've had chop suey that you put in the they make and they put in cans and you can put it in your stir fry and whatnot.
Then no.
That is the closest I can come to comparing this to another type of vegetable. And when I say they store very well, you don't want to harvest them and then store them like you would a potato or a sweet potato. This is actually something you want to keep in the ground until you want to eat it. But they grow. They are especially in some climates an invasive plant. So basically, you were talking about aloe vera being very tolerant, which it isn't. These bad boys are extremely tolerant. I mean, you could walk all over them. You could, kick them around. You could dig them up and put them back in the ground.
Like kudzu in the South.
Exactly. This is
for those who don't know what I'm talking about. Someone had this brilliant idea that to stop erosion, they would bring over the kudzu vine.
And it's taking over the South.
And it has just completely taken over the South.
Well,
the definition of an invasive species.
The sunchoke is something that you definitely don't want to put in your favorite part of the garden. You want to put it somewhere where you can go out there with some herbicide if you stoop to that level.
Okay, sort of isolate it.
To isolate it, yeah.
Okay.
I'm in my second year. They're already popping up as we speak. I dug some up just now just to make sure that they were doing fine. And it's a great survival food because you just dig one up when you need it. By the way,
it's year-round, presumably?
Yep. I mean, you want to harvest in the fall.
Right.
But I could be digging them up right now if I was hungry.
Okay. That is convenient.
And by the way, the difference between a sweet potato and a potato. A potato is a nightshade from the nightshade family. I forgot. Sweet potato is a... I lost my page.
So tomatoes are also from the nightshade family, aren't they?
Correct.
So tomatoes and potatoes are...
related. And eggplants. All the same family. But
I did not know that. More coming up. These lists of foods that you should be growing in order to prepare for, or just to save money. 603-283-6160. You can call in, change the subject, or weigh in. Are you gardening? Are you preparing for the apocalypse? 603-283.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. It gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Live talk radio that you control, 603-283-6160. You can call in and talk about anything you want, such as what are you planning to do during a zombie apocalypse? always liked the idea of zombie apocalypses, and I mean, you know, the fictional idea and stuff like that. You mentioned I Am Legend earlier tonight. That's probably one of my favorites. But there are a lot of really good ones out there.
The book or the movie?
I've never read the book. I've been meaning to, but now it's just not likely to happen.
The movie's fun, but it misses the whole concept, which pisses me off so much. It's not that they just changed things. Movies do that.
Sure.
But it's that they actually screwed up the basic concept behind the original short story,
There was an alternate ending, I think, that was truer to the concept behind the short story, but I don't remember what the differences were.
Yeah, I think I remember watching it, and it did make more sense. But I won't spoil it for anybody. I'll just be like, definitely the movie's fun. The book is kind of...
Well, it's Will Smith, it's good. It's damn good.
I reread the book recently, and I realized that a lot of the books that I grew up with, especially the ones that were written in the 30s and the 40s and even earlier, that I loved as a kid, Edgar Rice Burroughs and Robert E. Howard, his Conan series and Tarzan and whatnot, and rereading them as an old man, they're horrible. and I Am Legend is kind of in that boat. It's a weird.
You said it's a short story though.
It's about 80 pages. It's easy.
I could read that.
You can read it real quick.
Yeah.
It's a really neat idea. I like the idea. I like the concept. I like.
So what was the concept behind the book?
I can't tell you.
It's okay to spoil a book. It's just not okay to spoil a movie for people.
You're going to read the book.
I need to be motivated to read it.
I'll tell you off air because I'm not going to spoil it for anybody else.
But they need to be motivated to read it as well.
The book ending? That's all I'm going to say. It's such a punch you in the face moment. And it's like, oh, I get it now. That is a pretty neat idea. It's one of those moments. It's like, and I don't want to spoil that for you. It's like a light bulb going off. That's something I miss, man. I used to level up all the time.
Yeah.
When I'd figure something out, when I'd connect the dots, and I refer to it as leveling up.
Well, just like in a video game, the more levels you get, the longer it takes to get the next one.
Exactly. Which is where I'm at.
Yeah.
I don't level up anymore.
It's a long grind to get to the next level.
I think it's actually taking place, but there's no bell that goes off anymore.
Oh yeah.
It just says I don't hear some thunder shock somewhere over the mountains that just signaled that I leveled up. I think it's more of a slow, soft transition, which I miss the old days, back when leveling up was a punch in the face. This book, the ending of this book was a level up for me.
Okay.
Okay.
I would still like to know.
I'll tell you during the break. Okay. All right. When it comes to survivor food, if it grows like a weed and you can eat it, grow it. Sunchokes are one of those. They grow like...
I mean, that sounds like good advice.
It grows like a weed. Don't put it somewhere important where you're going to have a hard time digging it up, because you will miss little bits and pieces, and then you're going to have them popping up all over when it comes springtime. So be careful with this one. Number five on this list, I'm kind of iffy that it should be on this list because it definitely requires real estate. And it definitely requires you to manage your crops very well, and that is corn. Corn takes up a lot of space. It requires, when you harvest it, you basically have to harvest it all at one time, and then you have to do something with it. Not only that, but it will tear your soil up. It will suck the nitrogen right out of your soil, and you will have a dust bowl.
There was this farm that was being subsidized by the government, obviously.
And also all that grew was that it's soy.
Year after year, all they ever grew was corn. And it died and rotted year after year after year.
No one was eating it?
No, it died. It wouldn't come to the completion of its cycle because they had been growing only corn there for decades. But subsidized by the government. It would grow to an extent, then it would die, and that would be it.
You think they were probably making a little on the side just to go throw some corn seed out there, just to prove that that property was being used for this use?
Yes, I think the government was rewarding them for doing that. Like, hey, we need someone to grow corn, and they were like, we'll do it. And they're like, oh no, it died again. And the government's like, okay, here's your check, try again next year.
That makes perfect sense to me. I like corn. I love corn on the cob.
Okay.
I love it. I do grow corn.
Corn is okay.
But I think this is one of them. You can kind of move to the very end of your list. This isn't something that
corn isn't like packed with nutrients or anything like that, is it?
A little bit, but not a whole lot. Now here's one reason why you would want to. First of all, corn is delicious. If you have room for it and you can manage your soil, you're going to have some great corn you can put in your freezer, and then you have all of that green product that you could feed to your livestock.
Someone else in the DLive chat at DLive.freetalklive.com mentioned another really good zombie apocalypse style movie, and that was
Book of Eli.
Yeah,
I didn't even see DLive, and I knew that was
yeah.
Oh, that was interesting.
That was a good one.
It's a fun one because it has the I like how. He was like a samurai, except his book was he was a spiritual samurai.
Sure.
And then you had. But you know what? Now I'm failing to remember what the movie was all about, except that
it was about this guy trying to transport the Bible to a city, to the last city,
the last bastion of safety and security.
Yeah, and he passes through this town, and they give him a hard time, and then they discover that he's got what they consider to be the magic book that lets him take control of people.
Yep.
It's very anti-religious in its leanings, really, when it comes down to being a book about someone essentially performing a biblical miracle by memorizing the entire freaking Bible.
But he was killing people.
In large numbers.
So basically, he was an Old Testament type of a spiritual guy.
Yeah.
A whole wrath of God.
Good movie. I watched that one last year at some point.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Next on the list.
After corn.
Yeah, push corn to the end of the list, unless you have a lot of property or you're being subsidized by the government.
Now, are there ways to put the nitrogen back into the soil? I would imagine there are.
Beans.
Beans.
Green beans.
So you grow corn there one year, the next year green beans?
Yep.
Okay.
Now there is a method, supposedly our Native American ancestors here on this country, on this continent, perform, which is the Three Sisters technique, where they will grow corn, and in between they would grow squash, which basically provides a ground cover. It's going to prevent competing weeds from popping up and doing their nastiness. And then you grew pole beans at the base of the corn to grow up the corn. So you have all these because what puts nitrogen back in the soil? Green beans. You grow them right there at the corn. So you don't have to do any kind of crop rotation the next year. You just grow them both at the same time.
That's clever.
I have not had good results. Basically, my problem is...
It sounds like it wouldn't be easy to achieve.
Basically, the problem I have is my pole beans always pull my corn stalks down to the ground and just cause a big mess. And eventually you're going to be harvesting the corn, and corn stalks are going to die, and then your beans don't have anything to hang on. The corn that does manage to survive standing up, it just makes a big mess. It's just messy. I don't like it.
603-283-6160. More ways to survive the apocalypse coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The President and First Lady are visiting an elementary school in Southern Virginia. It's part of a pitch for the sweeping new infrastructure program and its effect on schools. The President asked students how they liked at-home learning this past year.
I liked it.
It was really nice.
Yeah, I was downstairs.
Kids between 12 and the age of 15 could be eligible to get the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine soon. The FDA is reportedly poised to greenlight the shots as early as this week. 12-year-old Caleb Chung was part of Pfizer's vaccine trial program earlier this year.
I definitely hope we get back to whatever we would call normal eventually soon.
That audio courtesy of ABC's Good Morning America, and you're listening to USA Radio News. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken is preparing for the G7 summit next month.
Secretary of State Anthony Blinken is meeting with G7 foreign ministers in the United Kingdom this week to plan the G7 summit in southwest England next month. Chinese aggression is on the docket.
I think what we've witnessed over the last several years is China acting more repressively at home and more aggressively abroad. That is a fact.
Secretary Blinken on CBS News. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
The Census Bureau says the White House was not involved with the 2020 census after many Republicans questioned whether President Joe Biden's administration interfered with the results. The Census Bureau telling the Epoch Times no one from the White House or Commerce Department saw the results of the census until they were released to the public. House Republicans concerned because they ended up with lower population counts than what was estimated last year. This is USA Radio News.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. That's the call-in line. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on surviving the zombie apocalypse, the best place, the best ways to do that. A lot of people just jokingly say, I'm going to invest in lead. As you were pointing out earlier, their plan apparently is to just take what they want, to basically reproduce.
You mean for bullet making?
Yes. To reproduce the warlord situation that led to the state in the first place. Ride in and take what we want.
There's going to be a lot of people who are going to go that route. They're going to be up on their hill, their new town of Jericho, and they're just going to stay up there, and they're going to constantly raid or try to raid people like me.
But as you point out, you know, it's unfortunate that it's some libertarian survivalists who are saying that thing. And it's like, that's fundamentally opposed to everything that you stand for, that
exactly.
You profess to stand for.
And I think if you had them, if you sat them down right now, they'd be like, no, I didn't really mean that. And I'm over here, what are they doing to prepare? Exactly. First of all, you said it out loud. So you have created this concept. It's in your head. And what are you going to do when you're starving? Are you just going to sit in a ditch and die? No, that's not how humans operate. You're going to find something to eat, even if it means preying on your fellow human being. So my question, what are you doing to prepare? How are you going to survive? And do they even believe it's going to happen?
I don't know if I believe it's going to happen or not, but it's a good idea to be prepared for various contingencies. And, you know, with everything happening in the world today, with the U.S. economy being what it is, with the U.S. government doing everything that it can to destroy the USD, it's not a bad idea to be able to be self-sufficient. in case the grocery stores run dry.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, not everyone's going to farm.
Right.
You're going to need other specialties. You're going to need a blacksmith.
Sure.
You're going to need a guy who's raising cattle. You're going to need a guy who's raising horses. Seamstresses. There are so many things, but how many people know how to do any of that? No.
It's unfortunate.
They don't. But don't spread yourself thin. Like I said, start with a 10x10 or do something that you know you would be worthwhile if it gets down to it, and make it fun. Like, I love being outside, playing in the dirt. I like that. I really, really like it. Not only do I feel self-sufficient, but it's fun. And so whatever you do, if it's to survive, if you think that this is going to actually happen because it happens every 80 years, do something that's fun. So maybe you are a great metalist. Maybe you work well with metal. And so you would have a great time, throwing some horseshoes together or building or 1,000 nails.
Sure.
Requires a blacksmith. And I'm going to need nails. I'm going to run out one day. So, sure, I mean, right. I'm going to need somebody who can provide me with things that I don't have. And so, hey, I have eggs. I need nails. Let's make it work. The guy who's collecting in the chat room who's going to collect lead? Guess what? I'm going to need bullets, too. So here, I have eggs. I need some bullets.
I'm hoping they're just planning on trading you.
Exactly. And that's what I... So, yes. Let's go that route. Number six on this list, one of my favorites, is squash. And you have two varieties. You have summer squash and you have winter squash. I always grow these. I always grow both varieties. Summer squash doesn't store very well. But it grows, not like a weed, but it grows. It's very easy to grow, and it grows a lot. Basically, there's like 2 months of the year where it seems like it's all I'm eating. I get to the point where I'm actually giving it away.
Wow.
Because it doesn't can very well. If you pressure cook squash, basically you turn it into mush.
Okay.
It's something that you would want to freeze. Of course, are you going to have electricity to run that freezer?
So that's the question during an apocalypse.
What it does do very well is it dehydrates very well. I have a massive dehydrator, a solar dehydrator, that I dehydrate a lot of my foods. I love dehydrating zucchini. It stores very well. It's easy, and that's what I'm eating right now.
Is
zucchini.
Okay.
Which is a squash.
Okay.
Winter squash, you have all kinds of varieties. Stores very well. I just ate my last winter squash, which was what's the one that turns into noodles when you eat it? Spanish squash.
I don't know why you were asking me. I don't know the answer.
Bonnie is kind of familiar with some of this, okay, some of this process, and maybe I would have heard her chime in from the kitchen there. But yeah, spaghetti squash. I just ate my last one. It's May. It's been storing since last fall. That's a good storing vegetable.
Yeah, that's a get you through the winter without starving vegetable.
Actually, and it grows. It's especially winter squash. They make very nice ground cover, and basically just let them go. I'll start them in my garden, and if they want to grow out of the garden and out into the yard and do whatever, just go let it go. And
okay.
And the next thing you know, you're tripping over these stupid things. There's so damn many of them. Basketball size squash, maybe not that big, but very large squash that store very well all over the place. And like I said, there are different varieties. I like spaghetti squash because it's called that for a reason. When you actually prepare it and you spoon it out, it's like spaghetti noodles. It's the neatest thing. And it's great with tomato sauce.
I don't think I've ever had spaghetti squash.
But then you have like your butternut squash and whatnot. There's all kinds of varieties. Pick one. It's going to get big.
Zucchini, what happens if you pick several? They compete for resources and aren't successful?
You make sure they have room. So they don't interfere with each other. It's going to be a lot harder to seed save because they're going to mix. So basically, when it comes to a squash, you are going to want to cover your blooms. Squash is self-pollinating. You have two blooms. You have a male and a female. Basically, you're going to want to cover your female bloom with some kind of a wrap, as well as your male bloom, until it opens, and then you're going to want to take your female petals, or stamen, and you're going to want to actually self-pollinate your female. some good old vegetable sex going on there.
And then you're facilitating this.
Natural insemination. So, yes. And basically you cover it back up because you don't want the pollinators to get in there and screw it up.
Pollinators, you mean like bees and wasps and
bees,
stuff?
Bees, wasps, flies, they're all kinds. A lot of people are not aware that it's not just honeybees that do pollinating, which, by the way, I'm going to try to start this year, by the way.
Well, they all love the sugar.
That's what they're after. If they're in your plant, if they're in there digging around, they're trying to get that sweet nectar.
Yeah.
I
didn't know that people thought only honeybees did that. No, it's just about every type of insect.
Well, you hear about the bee decline in this country, which was actually happening, and maybe it's not happening anymore. I'm not really sure on that because it seems like there's some kind of a resurgence. And a lot of the speculation was Monsanto or maybe it's beekeepers who are keeping their bees alive with sugar water. And it was killing off. It's called hive collapse or something like that, where whole hives would just disappear. Whole colonies would just be like... And the next day, what happened? Either all dead on the ground or they just up and left. And so there was a lot of speculation on what was going on, and people were worried that if we lose the honeybees, nothing will grow anymore. And it's like, yeah, they're not the only bug on the planet that pollinates. There's a lot of, I mean, in the first couple of months, like right now, the only thing I have in the garden is wasps. Big red wasps, and they're doing the same thing.
I hate those big red wasps, man. And they're smart.
Please, people, don't kill the wasps.
Even the big red ones?
Unless they're right in front of your security camera, and you have this big bulbous butt, wasp butt climbing across your camera every 5 minutes.
That thing's dying quickly.
No, they eat. They eat the caterpillars that consume your crops. Let them live. Like I was just telling you in the last segment about this parasitic wasp that lays its larva in the stupid cabbage moth. And they eventually eat their way out.
Is this the red wasp that does that?
No, it's another crazy looking. It almost looks kind of like an alien. It's so crazy looking.
I didn't think so because I'm from the south where the red wasps there, they would get enormous, man. Terrifying things. And just the idea of being stung by one of those, none of them ever stung me.
The only wasp that I will not tolerate are hornets.
Yeah.
Kill them with fire. Because those things are ornery. They will bite
yellow
anything.
Yellow jackets, too.
They will bite anything. They're nasty little guys.
603-283-6160. You can call in, weigh in with your thoughts. 603-283-6160.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamgaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with Youngevity. Teamgaday.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live 603. Oh, never mind. It's the final segment of the show. With you in the studio, it's Aria.
And Cody.
And I want to say thank you to Vagina Tarian, who is tonight's amplifier. This means that she is a member of the AMP program, which means that she is donating money each month to Free Talk Live in order to help us advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live. That's all those funds do. She's a gold-level amplifier, which means she chooses to give at least $10 per month. So, Vagina Tarian, thank you so much for that. If you want to help the show, if you want to help us reach a larger audience, if you appreciate what we do here, then joining the AMP program is the best way to do that. Check it out, amp.freetalklive.com, amp.freetalklive.com. Now, Conan and I were just discussing, keeping in mind that the possibility of an actual zombie apocalypse, as we would recognize from a Hollywood movie, mm-hmm. is extraordinarily unlikely. Probably not scientifically possible. Who knows?
Who knows?
However, I remarked that guns aren't exactly as useful in a zombie apocalypse as one would think.
If we're actually talking about...
Dealing with zombies.
The zombies.
We're assuming that we've already gone through that period where we have our little... our barricaded cluster, we're peacefully coexisting. Some of us are doing this, some of us are growing the food, some of us are raising the cows, some of us are doing other things.
Or maybe it's nomadic lifestyle where we're kind of just traveling around and doing whatever. This, your statement has been one of my pet peeves for ever since I could watch, I've watched zombie films.
Because they're all about the guns.
It's all about the guns. And why? Guns run out of bullets eventually. Guns get wet.
Guns have to be reloaded in the middle of a zombie horde.
Exactly. Your ammo gets wet. Basically, you run out of it eventually. It's also very, very loud.
Oh, that's a good point.
So, I mean, you're sneaking up and you need to take some of these predators out silently, and you don't want the 30 sitting over there on the other side of the hill to figure out where you're at and come running for you.
A bow would also be good.
Because if you could... Well, here's the question. Here's the big question. So now, what kind of zombies are we talking about? Are we talking about slow shuffling zombies? Are we talking about sprinter zombies?
I don't think shuffling zombies are as plausible as the fast zombies. I think if we're going to have this conversation, it's got to be the fast zombies.
Okay, are they actually dead? Or, in a, say, like 28 days later, is there actually, you know, blood flowing through those veins and you can actually cut their head off? And it's a killing blow.
Assume that cutting their head off is a killing blow.
Okay, because the dead, you basically have to pulverize them. You have to dismember them, which is where we're going with this, kind of.
But I think that's a bit beyond your ordinary zombie. I think shooting them in the brain, damaging the brain, destroying the brain.
Yeah.
Should be sufficient for this discussion.
I don't agree with the bow and arrow, especially trying to kill a moving target that is hard to kill already because it's kind of dead, but it's not because we're talking about 28 days sprinter zombies.
I don't know why, but for some reason I assumed the zombie was like a sentry in some guard tower somewhere, being distinctly unzombie-like.
If you could kill them like a human, then so maybe a chest shot. Because, I mean, it takes...
Okay, yeah.
You guys, keep in mind...
But in most lore, a chest shot won't kill a zombie.
It won't kill a human either. It might take an hour. They might have to bleed to death. Mm. There's a good reason why when bow hunters shoot something, they just sit there and let it run off. And basically, and they don't chase it down because they're going to chase it further into the woods. And hopefully, they're crossing their fingers, hopefully the stupid thing sits down and bleeds to death. Because that's because bows aren't effective like that.
Right.
I would not want to use it in a battle where I was on the front line.
No, certainly not.
Now if I had my hack and slash guy up front, my tank, I would like to be that bowman back there on the turret. by the way, my go-to character in pretty much every game out there is either a caster and or a bowman. So
I mean, no one wants to be the guy up there at the front facing the zombie horde with the axe.
I think some people get into it.
Really?
They get that berserker rage and they start feeling it.
I would for sure be the one in the back like, yeah, I thank you for serving. I'm going to be back here with the bow.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Now, you said axe, and I'm like... Let's step this up. The good thing about an axe is you can actually use it for multiple things.
Yes.
You could cut things. You could cut trees down with it, so you have firewood and or you can build your hut. And you can also split some heads open. So 20 years, at least 20 years, my whole life, this has always been a pet peeve. No guns, I mean all guns, and no one's got a damn sword. Or an axe. And then finally, Walking Dead, and you got Michonne or whoever it is, the samurai girl, the black samurai girl. And it's like, finally, we have somebody who's actually using her head. She can just cut heads off. You know?
I've never seen it.
Pun intended.
Right.
Problem. Huge problem. Those swords are not very strong. They lose their edge very quickly. They break very easily.
Well, no weapon is perfect.
I would not recommend a... samurai sword for hacking on zombies.
Samurai sword? Absolutely not.
What I would recommend is maybe a big two-hand or a bastard sword and or a short sword that can retain its edge well, but it doesn't really matter because it's really a lot about the weight.
Yeah.
A lot of that is just going through skin and tissue because you just swung it over your head and you right into someone's neck. So the sharpness is important, but it doesn't really need to be that sharp.
Well, isn't the mythology of zombies that they have tougher skin than humans do?
Don't know about that. I know that supposedly D&D rules, maces are being used. You use maces against zombies for whatever reason, because I think you break bones. I'm not zombies, but skeletons. So if they're walking skeletons, then you would want a mace. If you were fighting mummies...
Look, if we get to a point where they're walking skeletons...
If you're fighting mummies, you want something that you can dismember them, which is... a sharp sword.
If we get to a point where there are skeletons and mummies running around, I'm just done.
You're done?
I'm just going to chill in my house and wait for death at that point. There is a disembodied, there is a bone body outside my window. I'm done. Come out. I'm done.
At least in 28 days later?
Were there skeletons in 28 days later?
No, they eventually died. They ran out of things to eat.
There were skeletons?
No, there wasn't. But, I mean, they eventually came to a point where they ran out of people to infect, and so there was actually light at the end of the tunnel. But then you had 28 weeks later because someone made a mistake. I won't spoil anything.
I've never seen any of these.
Oh, wow. Definitely recommend both of those.
Okay.
Because it took the... I think it was... I'm sure someone in the comments could correct me, but I think it was the first time sprinter zombies were introduced. And they're horrifying, man.
Yeah, those are the scary ones. The stupid, slow, lumbering ones, those aren't the ones anyone really needs to worry about.
Why are you even afraid of any of this?
Unless outrun it.
And that's why in Walking Dead, which, by the way, is just gone to complete garbage, they never had a hard time against, like, single, slow, slumbering zombies. It was zombie herds
Sure.
Where it was just thousands and thousands. They all, I don't know, they all smelled each other and they came together and they were just walking like buffalo.
Well, it would be a lot harder.
That was scary.
It would be a lot harder to deal with a horde of zombies than it would be one zombie.
I mean, easier.
But if,
all right, I'm sorry. Yeah, harder to deal with a horde than a single, yes.
Yes, but I mean, still, the horde is slow moving. You could probably just go around them.
That's kind of what they kind of tried to do often.
That would be what my suggestion is, as far as the plans go. Instead of trying to go through them or anything like that, just go around them. We move faster than they do. So I think swords, definitely good. Axes, definitely good. You're right, fast-moving zombie, bow, not much of a help. A gun would be better.
But and when it comes to hunting and feeding yourself, you know, that's all you have. If I had to pick, it would be hard. If you could only pick one weapon.
Ooh, what would be your one weapon to stay alive during the zombie apocalypse?
I would want a sword. I would want a bow. But I think I'm going to go with axe.
I think I would go with an axe as well. Because if I needed to take down a door or whatever, I have the means of doing that.
And not the double-headed axe, but a single-bladed axe with a blunt back. So you can use it for a hammer.
Like a woodcutter's axe.
You could use it for cutting. And you can also use it for splitting skulls. I think I'm going to go with axe.
See, I think I would go with the full-blown battle axe. You know, double-bladed. If we're going to do this, I want to be able to do it properly.
I think there's some weapon specialists out there who specialize in these things that will say that you're an idiot for...
I'm sure they would.
For thinking that a double-bladed axe is going to even work the way that you want it to. The same way everyone wants the samurai sword when they really want a halberd and they want to be standing with a bunch of their dudes all in a line so that when the cavalry comes, they're going to tear you up, horsey boy.
Well, I definitely would agree that an axe would be the way to go. If you could only pick one weapon to survive as long as possible in the zombie apocalypse, and the utility of having a single-bladed axe with the dull part on the other side that you could use as a hammer or whatever, that's certainly a bigger advantage than just having another blade.
I agree. Well, I don't think this is going to ever happen.
I don't either. But
it's
fun to talk about.
But I own a very expensive, very sharp bastard sword. It's
nice.
Huge. It's almost as long as me.
Thanks for listening to this zombie talk. Online in the meantime, head on over to Free Talk Live and check out the AMP program, amp.freetalklive.com.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.